And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And today we're going to talk about some outrageous things. In fact, that's the title of today's program, Outrageous. Are you angry yet? This is volume 3. Ever so often, we're going to do one of these outrageous programs because, you know, I get in the mail here over the transom, it's called. My good friends everywhere across the world send me really fascinating information. You know, I get stuff that no one has ever seen before. Things happening in their local communities quite often, sometimes over in New Zealand, Australia, maybe in Romania or even Russia or the Ukraine or Toledo, Ohio or Oakland, California. People send us stuff. And, you know, this is stuff, and I'm one of the biggest reader of news in the world, but I've never seen it. But they send me the evidence that it exists, some of these things that are going on. America is the least free nation in the world in terms of the censoring of news. Our news is constantly censored. So it's necessary, dear friends, for you to be my good friends. You know, I used to have a friend named Alan Dale. He had a radio show in San Antonio, very popular, Alan Dale, big audience. And he would have me on from time to time. And one of the interesting things is he would always ask me this question. He would tell me about something he was doing, and he would say, can I ask you a question, Tex? He really respected me, you know, as a pastor and a man of God. And he said, I'm doing, you know, ABC. I hope I'm not making God mad. I don't want to die in this life and then go to judgment and find out from God that he was angry at me for doing this. What do you think? One time he told me that he had invited this astrologer to come on once a week. Another time he invited a psychic to come on once a week, tell people's fortunes on the air. And he said, I hope you don't think I'm making God angry. I said, well, I don't know about angry, Alan, but you're not pleasing God. Really? He said, well, you know, you're the only pastor that's ever told me that. I asked when they say, oh, it's just for entertainment. It's just for fun. Don't worry, Alan. And I said, well, Alan, it's not really entertaining. Even if it draws an audience to you, it's not pleasing to God. No, I'm afraid I'm going to have to tell you that. And you know what Alan told me? He says, you know, Tex, I really appreciate that. In 38 years, you're the only pastor that's ever told me that. He said, I guess I've asked 50 pastors that question. Now, he said this on the air. I think it's quite interesting. Said it on the air. One of his last programs, I think it was about the third before the news came out that he had died, he had me on to talk about the Order of Skull and Bones. And he was good friends with the Bush family because he was, you know, so popular in radio there in San Antonio and around Texas. And I said, well, I know you're friends of George Bush Sr. Are you sure you want to have me on? I don't want you to lose your friendship by having me on talking about the Bushes being in the Order of Skull and Bones. He said, well, you know, Tex, I don't know how much longer I've got to live. I'm not in real good health. I don't want to go meet God not doing the right thing. And I thought about it. I want you to come on and just tell the truth about the Order of Skull and Bones. No matter whose ox gets gored, just come on. I'll ask you the questions. I don't want to make God unhappy because I'm going to be meeting him soon. 3 weeks later, he was dead. Alan Dale. Well, I don't know why I told you that story, but, you know, sometimes these things, we just get information from all over. And Alan Dale, in fact, told me several interesting stories. But he had an interesting thing. He said that he had a lot of friends out, and they would send him information, too. He called them his alligators. He said, my alligators are out there in radio land digging up stuff and sending to me. Alligators. Well, Friends, I don't want to call you an alligator, but I guess I have my alligators too. They're out there. And your friendliest can be good people, but boy, when the evildoers come around, you're like an alligator. They're going to lose an arm or a leg if they mess with you. That's the best because you love the truth and you love righteousness. And I appreciate that. Some people, you know, it's interesting when people meet me, and Jerry, you've testified to this. Most people that meet me for the first time, they're shocked. They say, well, you know, I read your stuff, your material, and I heard you on the radio, and I thought you were just a mean, really fierce guy. I was almost frightened to see you, to meet you. I thought, boy, he's tough. He's got hide of steel. And they said, here you come up and grab me, hug me. You shook my hand. You had a big smile on your face. You're not like your radio persona at all, Tex. Well, I don't know. Maybe I am. But Wanda says I'm too tough sometime. Not on her, you know. In fact, I'm just a little pansy around Wanda. She gets everything she wants. You know, Jerry, it's terrible about women like that. Your wives, she's so sweet, Wanda is. She gets everything. You know, at night I'm watching TV, she'll come, she'll start massaging my head. Just being sweet, you know. I have no opportunity to get angry at her, ever. It just makes me so mad, just the fact that I can't get mad. But she's a sweetheart. Well, in any case, I don't care whether you're an alligator, my friends, or you're a porcupine, or what you are to the evildoers. I appreciate you fighting them. And let's talk about some outrageous things. Well, over in Australia, I don't want to get on the Aussies today. Let's pick on the Ukrainians today. Evidently, the Ukrainians have a very famous, world-famous fashion designer. He's gotten involved in men's clothing. Now, I don't really care about fashion much. Now, you men, listen to me out there. What do you think? I don't care about men's fashion. I don't care if the pants are long or short or tight or loose. And I don't like those pants that hang down. A lot of the young folks wear that's just what are the baggy pants. Well, that looks pretty disgusting. But other than that, I don't mind about fashion. I don't care. But now, finally, I care. Because he had a fashion show where men walked the boardwalk. Is that what they call it, the boardwalk? I think they have a name for the runway. Yeah, the runway. They walk the runway, you know, dressed up, all the women do. Well, now they have men doing it. And this designer has his newest innovation is gowns and dresses for men. And I have pictures of these men going down the runway in this fashion show wearing dresses. I mean, come on. Jerry, I'm not going to wear a dress. I don't care what they say. Even Wanda, she's sweet, but she couldn't talk me into wearing a dress. Actually, to tell you the truth, she'd probably pound me a little bit. She wouldn't massage my head just to be nice for a minute or so while I'm sitting reading. Yeah, she'd get one of those mallets from the kitchen. You know, one of those things that beats up meat or something. You know, that makes meat tenderized. Yeah, she'd beat me on the head a few times. Take that dress off, Tex. Well, anyway, wives out there, girlfriends, would you like to see your man wearing a dress? That's the newest fashion for men. You know, it'll probably catch on. Dresses and gowns for men. Well, Fox News, everybody thinks they're traditional. Everybody thinks they're conservative, even Republican. But to please Obama's, the socialists and the liberals, Fox News has begun to change. They recently hired Jesse Jackson's daughter. Her name is Santita. Santita. Oh, yeah. Well, Santita is nothing more than another big Jesse Jackson civil rights wacko. And they've hired her, and they're giving her probably hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to be a high-paid commentator for the O'Reilly Factor. I've seen her on several times. She has absolutely nothing to say, good or bad, just pure blah. But she's Jesse Jackson's daughter, the shakedown artist, the racist and demagogue. She's his daughter, Santita Jackson. And because of that, they've given her a big salary to be a commentator at Fox Network News. Meanwhile, Fox has been funneling tens of thousands of dollars to another black racist demagogue, the Reverend Al Sharpton. Bill O'Reilly, it was discovered, has been meeting him privately for dinner. They're big pals now, plotting out strategy or whatever. Yeah, Al Sharpton and Bill O'Reilly working together for the hell of what they want America to be, I guess. Isn't that something? Giving hundreds of thousands of dollars to Reverend Al Sharpton, Fox Network. But they pretend to be conservative, Republican, American. Meanwhile, there's a black feminist commentator on Fox News now named Jehmu Green. What a name. J-E-H-M-U Green. She's a real nice lady. She was on there and she was talking about conservative columnist Tucker Carlson. And she called him a, get this, bow-tying, because he wears a bow tie, bow-tying white boy. He's a bow-tying white boy. Now, friends, if I called a black liberal commentator on the air, if anyone called him, let's say a baggy pants black boy, guess what would happen? You'd be fired. If you just call somebody a black boy because they're black, that'd be the end of you. She called him a bow-tying white boy. She still has her job. It's pretty disgusting, isn't it? Don't trust Fox. Don't trust CNN. Don't trust MSNBC. None of them. They're all owned by the same forces, dear friends. Well, a vote for Obama is a vote for Mao Zedong, says Carl Hand of Lockport, New York. Carl sent me one of his flyers. Got a picture of Mao Zedong, the monster who killed, well, depending on the report, anywhere from 25 to 100 million people when he became the communist dictator in 1949 of Red China. Carl says voting for Obama is the same as voting for Mao. And he notes some interesting things. First, he says Mao Zedong was one of the most ruthless dictators in the world. He killed millions of his own countrymen. But the liberal press ignores the horrors perpetrated by this monster, just as it ignores the millions of Russians murdered by Stalin and Lenin. But then, he says Carl, but then maybe their silence is not so mysterious when one considers that Mao Zedong, Stalin, and Lenin were all communist. And communism is where the secret loyalties of America's liberal press really lie. Then Carl goes on to say that Barack Obama is also a communist. His associations, however, with the Weather Underground terrorists have been overlooked by the media. His fascination with the communist teachings of Chicago activist Saul Alinsky have been excused. But then listen to this. He said, this is Mr. Hand now speaking. It is interesting to note that Barack Obama chose to name one of his daughters Malia Ann Obama. Malia, M-A-L-I-A, Ann Obama. Her initials just happen to be M-A-O, Mao. Coincidence? Well, of course not. Barack Obama is a big worshiper of the Chinese dictator. By the way, the very name Obama has O and M and A or Mao in it. It's an anagram, what they call an anagram for Mao, Obama. That's not by accident. Not at all. Well, guess what, folks? Good news for you. Do you need to become a man, but you're now a woman? Would you like to be changed from a woman to a man, have a transgender operation? Well, would you like to have a, and get it, by the way, free, paid for by the government, changing from man to woman or vice versa, whatever? Would you like to have an abortion and not have to pay a penny for it? Do you have dental problems? You need a tooth filled or root canal? Or maybe, I don't know, implants or whatever? Do you need a good dental bridge? You want the government to pay for it free? Well, you can, but only if you're an illegal alien. It just so happens, according to the Daily Caller website, hormone treatments for transgendered people, abortion services, and other such medical expenses are being paid for illegal aliens in the custody of the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. It just came out that ICE, you know, that's under Attorney General Eric Holder's purview, and Obama has approved this. They've got what they call new standards, performance-based national detention standards. And if you have been caught as an illegal alien and you're put in a detention facility and you want to become a woman or a man if you're the opposite sex or get an abortion or get free dental care, the government will pay for it. So you can come across the border from Mexico and turn yourself in. Go to the nearest ICE office and say, my name is Jose. I'm a man, but I want to become a woman. I'm a transgender. I'm turning myself in so you can bring me to detention and then you can pay the $85,000 that it will cost for my operation. Then I will go back to Mexico as a woman. Don't worry. The government will pay for it. Now, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Texas Republican Congressman Lamar Smith, said he's not pleased with the new arrangement by ICE. He said the Obama administration's new manual is more like a hospitality guideline for illegal aliens. Treats them better than citizens in federal custody. In other words, if you get sent to a federal prison and you're an American citizen, you can't get a transgender operation. If you're a woman, you can't get an abortion, I guess. I'm not even sure about that. That's what Congressman Smith says. But if you're an illegal alien, they'll pay every penny of it. Isn't that great? That's wonderful. That's oh, my goodness gracious. Hey, new study out. They find that a heart disease medication might be the secret to combating racism. Researchers from Oxford University have released a new study showing that taking a drug called propranolol, which is normally used for high blood pressure, causes a change in people's brains, and they become less biased racially. So if you're a bigot, they'll give you this propranolol, and suddenly you don't hate whites or blacks so much. You become a nice person. They say that some people are racist and don't know it. You know, you've got what they call implicit racial bias. And this can occur even in people with a sincere belief in equality, says Dr. Sylvia Turback, author of the study. But the good news is this can help even you. So folks, if you're a bigot or even imagine you might be, go down and volunteer to take this propranolol. And once you take it, it's sort of like getting a chemical lobotomy. You love everybody. Friends, believe me, they're coming up with all kinds of pharmaceuticals that are, well, they're mind-boggling, to say the least. Well, let's see what else we've got for you here. Jerry, what other outrageous things can we bring up? Oh, here's one, yes. Evidently, a Congressman Rothman, a Jewish congressman, has introduced legislation, and most of the Congress says they will vote for it, to give another $947 million to Israel so they can buy more military armaments and kill more people. $947 million more than was already appropriated And already they had appropriated $8 billion to Israel. Israel gets more money in foreign aid than any other nation from the United States, even though it only has 7 million people. Don't we have enough problems to take care of here in America, dear friends? What is this all about? Is anybody able to explain that? Why are we giving $947 million to Israel? Of course, Congressman Rothman would tell you it's because Israel is more important than the United States. He's a Jew. He puts Israel first. But what about all the other congressmen? How about House Speaker John Boehner? He's for this bill too. How about Senate Republican Minority Leader Mitch McConnell? How about Harry Reid, the Mormon Senate Majority Leader? He's for it too. How about Nancy Pelosi? Well, it's actually Pelosi, but I like Pelosi. It sounds better. You know, Nancy Pelosi, she's for it. Is there anybody that stands up for America other than Congressman Ron Paul in the Congress? I don't know. Evidently not. Well, folks, Richard Thorne is a 63-year-old veteran of the military. And periodically, he visits the VA hospital or medical center in Sheridan, Virginia. Well, he got in a little trouble recently. It seems that he would give out free tracts and materials having to do with patriotism. He would also go around the medical center while he was visiting there to see the doctors, and he would give out free DVDs warning Americans about the coming police state. Well, it seems that the security people there stopped him, took him to a back room, and began to threaten him. They told him that was not allowable. You couldn't give out free DVDs and literature. And they said that he really didn't have any rights, and if he continued to do this, they might just see that he would lose his veterans' benefits. Wow. Who would have thought? You hand out literature in a free country, free to people, and the VA would threaten to cut off your veteran benefits. Well, that's what happened to Mr. Thorne. Now, you would think that he would have been protected under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights. I understand. I checked and found out that even the Wyoming State Constitution has a provision protecting freedom of speech. There's no violation here of federal or state code. There's no smut involved. There's no pornographic material. It's just patriotic stuff. It's his opinion. And there's no law that says if the government doesn't like what you're passing out to people, they can cut off your veteran benefits. That's outrageous. Are you angry as I am, friends? Well, Richard Thorne said he had to agree to it. He didn't want to, but he, you know, they have all the lawyers, they have all the security police, they all, you know, friends, the Bible has something to say about this. John chapter 15, verse 19 says, if you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. This not only applies for Christianity today, it applies for patriotism. You can't do anything to indicate you're a Christian or that you read the Holy Bible or that you believe in Jesus Christ or that you're a patriot. There's no doubt in my mind that if Mr. Thorne was simply passing out copies of the printed Bill of Rights of the Constitution, they would have told him, keep doing this and we'll take away your veterans' rights. I think this is outrageous. Here's something else that's outrageous. Over in Great Britain, a Christian preacher, I get a report like this at least once a week. A Christian street preacher was arrested and locked up in a jail cell for telling a passerby that homosexuality is a sin in the eyes of God. His name was Dale McElpeen. He was charged with causing harassment, alarm, or distress. See, it turned out that a policeman was standing there. Now, this policeman was not on the vice squad. He was on the homosexual squad. That's right. The police over in England in the city of Workington have a homosexual police squad, and they go around trying to catch people criticizing homosexuality. And if they catch people doing it publicly, they arrest them, and they're charged with the offense of causing harassment, alarm, or distress. Now imagine, friends, now I don't even drink, but imagine going to a bar and ordering you a beer. Or maybe a restaurant ordering a Coke with your dinner or a glass of tea. And the people in the next table and chair next to you, unbeknownst to you, is an undercover cop. And he's there visiting the restaurant just to see if he can find somebody that might say something negative about homosexuality. And you're talking with your wife, and you say, I really don't agree that homosexuals should marry each other. And suddenly he bolts out of his chair, grabs you, throws you to the floor, puts handcuffs around you, calls for the paddy wagon, and takes you to jail because you have caused harassment, alarm, or distress to him because he was within hearing distance. And he's a homosexual himself, hired by the cops to find deviants like you who are Christians. They said that this guy, though, was a street preacher, and he was really bad. Did you know he had the audacity to recite a number of sins referred to in the Bible? Yes, he read the Bible. That is horrible. Jared, can you believe that? This man read the Bible on the street. He referred to sins like blasphemy, drunkenness, and homosexuality. You can't allow a man like that. What would happen if everybody did that? And we had no more blasphemy, drunkenness, homosexuality. What would the world be like if we didn't have those things? We can't allow this, evidently. Now, the 42-year-old man, turns out to be Baptist, been preaching for years. And he admitted it. He told the police sergeant when he got down to the station that he did, that somebody asked him, a passing shopper, said, do you believe I'm a homosexual? Is that against the word of God? And he turned. He turned to the passage in the Bible, and he read to the guy. That was when he was arrested. It was all a setup, see. They wanted to get him for that horrible, deviant crime. That's right, folks. Today, you can't have the Ten Commandments in a schoolroom. You can't even have the beginning of the Declaration of Independence, which refers to our Creator. It's a crime to read the Bible and tell people that homosexual conduct is a sin. That's against public order. That's dangerous in a society. Well, Mr. McElpine pleaded not guilty. And, my goodness, what may happen is what happened to another man over in England, a man named Harry Hammond, retired gentleman. He put up a sign saying, stop immorality, stop homosexuality, stop lesbianism, Jesus is Lord, while preaching. He was arrested and found guilty. Meanwhile, I have a picture. I have a picture in my hand, friends, from MSNBC TV. They had a gigantic parade in San Francisco. And here are some of the signs. Slut pride. Slut pride. I love lesbianism. Let's do blank together. I blank men. You know what the word blank means? There's a word that goes there. They're holding up signs marching for slut pride. That's not a crime. That doesn't harass people. That doesn't alarm them. That doesn't offend anybody except Christians. And we're not worthy of protection, are we? We're mean, old, evil, horrible people. Simply because we believe in the Bible. Yes, that's right. The world loves its own. But Jesus has chosen you and me, dear friends, out of the world. It doesn't love us. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, Tex Mars back again. We've just released the new book by Michael Hansen, photojournalist, entitled Bohemian Grove, Cult of Conspiracy. First major book exposing the Bohemian Grove. They're meeting in July of every year in the Redwood Forest, about 50 miles outside of San Francisco. Hundreds of the most powerful men in the world. Ex-presidents. Maybe Obama will show up this year. Prime ministers, royalty, oil company executives. Incredible. They do terrible things there. Occult, satanic rituals, and more. And now we have a book that names these people. We have a complete list of all the members of the Bohemian Grove. I was privileged to write the foreword for this book. My good friend Mike Hansen wrote the book. And he's the guy that snuck into the place clandestinely to spy on them with a video camera hidden. Can you imagine sneaking in there and there's about 1,500 of the most powerful men in the world and they have security forces everywhere? If you're caught, it's reputed they'll do more to you than simply put you in jail for trespassing. It's been said that lives are snuffed out. Young boys are brought in, prostituted, sodomized by some of these monsters. President Nixon once told his chief of staff, H.R. Haldeman, in the Oval Office, he said, "I've attended the Bohemian Grove a few times. And that is the most faggoty GD place I've ever seen. I can't stand to shake hands with those people." Wow. Their hands are filthy from doing things, he said. That was Nixon's verdict. But he went there anyway. And he gave the Bohemian Grove credit for making him president, his contacts there. Bohemian Grove, Cult of Conspiracy, the first major book ever published exposing it. You'll see pictures you wouldn't believe. You'll see George Bush kissing, George W. Bush, bisexual, kissing his boyfriend. You say, "No, Tex, that can't be." You'll see the picture, kissing him right on top of his head. His bald head. Oh, yeah. That picture alone is worth the price of the book. The book is over 460 pages, $30 for the book, and please send $5 for shipping and handling. A total of $35. Ask for the Bohemian book or Bohemian Grove, Cult of Conspiracy. It's by Michael Hansen. Tex Morris, that's old Tex right here, wrote the foreword. And I just believe we ought to see these things. I think we ought to find out. You know, the Bible says in Ezekiel 8:9, the prophet Ezekiel was told to go and dig in the wall. And God said to Ezekiel, and let me just read to you from Ezekiel 8, verse 9. "And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here." Think about that. God told the prophet Ezekiel, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. Folks, they do these wicked abominations in the Redwood Forest outside of San Francisco. And I think due to the grace of God, this man, Michael Hansen, a Christian, was able to go in and to observe and witness the wicked abominations that they do there. And he wrote a book about it. Pictures and all. Now we're not going to show you filthy pictures. George Bush kissing a boyfriend is about the worst we're going to show you. But he'll testify to what went on there. And again, we'll have a complete list of the Bohemian members. You'll be surprised at some of the names, I'm sure. The Bohemian Grove even gives the history of the Bohemian Grove, how it got started, who all's been going there over the years. The most famous people in the world attend this wicked devil fest. 2 weeks long in July of every year. Okay, here's how to get the book. Again, $35, that's shipping included. $30 for the book, $5 for shipping and processing. Just write to us, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can go to our webpage, powerofprophecy.com. Hey, an easier way to get there, if you know how to spell my name, is texmars.com. Texmars.com. Now, I talk about if you know how to spell my name because it's a little odd. It's T-E-X-E. Most people don't know that. They spell my name T-E-X. In fact, a lot of people call me T-E, or spell it T-E-X-X. Well, bless their hearts. I don't get upset about it. I know. What text has an E on the end? Only me. I don't know of any other text in the whole world that has an E on the end. But the midwife delivered me. She didn't know how to spell my name. And my mother couldn't figure it out either. Because my real name, see, now this is secret. Please don't tell anybody. It's Texie. You like Bill and Billy, Jim and Jimmy? Well, my mom had this bright idea, bless her heart, to call me Texie. Now, nobody really calls me Texie. I disowned the name a long time ago. In fact, nobody calls me that but my mother. When I go visit my mother, she's 90. She's approaching 94 years old. She's such a sweetheart. She says, well, Texie. I let her call me that. I go along with it. You can't. You can't tell a 93-year-old lady what to do. They tell you what to do. My grandkids call Wanda the Almighty. Now, they're not being, you know, smart aleck. They just like to kid her a little bit. They say Mumsy. They call her Mumsy, you know, instead of Grandma. Mumsy. M-O-M-Z-I-E. Mumsy, you're the Almighty. I joke to her a lot about that. I say, hello, Almighty, when I call her on the phone. And she says, Tex, do not call me that anymore. Only God deserves that title. I say, I know, but I'm having fun. Well, write to us and send us $30 for the book that'll cover the postage and the shipping. As for Bohemian Grove, Cult of Conspiracy by Michael Hansen. And you'll appreciate what I say, too, about all my investigation over the last 20 years or so of the Bohemian Grove. In the foreword, I write about that. It's been called the greatest men's party on planet Earth by a former president. Wow. But they do more than party there. Serious business. They plot out your life and mine, our future, who the next president will be, where the next war will be fought. At the Bohemian Grove. Write to us. Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's the Republic of Texas. No, it's really not. But I think about that sometime, the Republic of Texas. Not a bad name. Well, okay. Let's return to our regular program. We're talking about outrageous. Are you angry yet? Well, I'm still angry about the Trayvon Martin case. Now, did you know that they found Trayvon and some friends with spray cans of paint defacing walls at his high school? They found on Trayvon Martin, this gangsta, a bag of 13 women's rings that he had stolen. They also found that he was armed with a screwdriver. Now, on the night in question with George Zimmerman, he was walking from a convenience store at night in the rain in a neighborhood where he did not reside, and he attacked. Witnesses say he's the one that attacked George Zimmerman. Now, the autopsy has come in, and they say that Trayvon Martin actually had his knuckles bruised and skinned up from beating Zimmerman. And they say that Zimmerman, meanwhile, a hospital report, a medical report, has finally, all this time, been hidden from us. The police finally have released it, after all this time, come to find out that George Zimmerman, who has been accused of murder in the second degree, George Zimmerman had lacerations to the back of his head, his bloody head. He had a broken nose and two black eyes. Folks, Trayvon Martin was a punk, a thug, a gangster, and he was shot because of those things. He attacked a man. Doesn't matter whether they were black or white or Hispanic. You attack somebody and you beat them. You give them two black eyes, break their nose, try to pound their head into the pavement. If the guy's got a gun, he's going to shoot you. That's what happens, friends, when you're a punk and a thug. By the way, Trayvon himself called himself nigga on his Twitter and Facebook pages. He called himself nigga. He was proud of that. He should have called himself punk. That's my opinion. Am I a racist? say what you will. I've just said what I would, and I told the truth about it. Now, I understand that Attorney General Eric Holder is thinking of harassing and bullying and intimidating George Zimmerman even more. Said he might charge him with a hate crime, a federal hate crime. I think we need to impeach Attorney General Eric Holder. That guy is the biggest racist punk in the United States. Impeach Eric Holder. As for George Zimmerman, well, I ask this question. If you're from Florida and you're going to vote in the next presidential election in November, I have a write-in candidate for you. Don't vote for Obama. Don't vote for Romney. Vote for George Zimmerman, President of the United States. I think he'll protect us a little bit more than these two wackos, the Republican and the Democrats. Here's something that we need to be protected from. Federal bureaucrats harassing American corporations. Gibson Guitars. You know, that's a historic company. Gibson Guitars. I visited their factory in Nashville, Tennessee when I was there last year. Beautiful place. Gorgeous guitars they make. Artisan, craftsmen making guitars. American-made guitars. Well, the government wants to shut them down. And they have raided the Gibson Guitar Company, seized their computers and records. Would you like to know why? They say that a little bitty part of the guitar was made with ebony and rosewood. And those are from endangered trees in Indonesia, I think it is. Now, they didn't know that these little bitty parts, these wood parts, were from endangered trees. Now, Gibson has been told that if it will, in the future, start buying all of its wood from overseas, they'll drop the charges. Don't buy American wood, buy foreign wood, and we'll drop the charges. You get the real point? Buy foreign materials, and we'll drop the charges. If not, they're threatening to shut Gibson Guitars down. Folks, they've gone after everything, haven't they? American Airlines was recently forced to file for bankruptcy. An American icon, American Airlines. The very name American probably offended the Obama administration. Well, here's something that offends me. A guy named Jimmy DeYoung, who claims to be a Christian evangelist, has written a book called Ready to Rebuild. He's also got a DVD by the same name, Ready to Rebuild. Now, Jimmy DeYoung is one of these Zionist freaks, and he interviews rabbis over in Israel who just thrill Mr. DeYoung to death because they want to rebuild the temple there on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Now, DeYoung will take you in this video to the western wall of the Temple Mount where the rabbis pray three times a day for the rebuilding of the temple. Then he interviews members of the new Sanhedrin. That's right, folks. The rabbis have created a new Sanhedrin. You know, like the one that put Jesus to death. They say, listen to this, they are now ready to identify the Messiah when he comes. These rabbis are saying they know the name of the Messiah and it's not Jesus. He's alive today. I think, folks, according to the Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I know his name. Or at least his title. It's Antichrist. It's Beast. And he has a number, 666. He will be the Messiah of the Jews because they've rejected the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. And they do want to rebuild their temple. In 2 Thessalonians, it says there will be a great falling away from the truth in the last days. And that man of sin, the son of perdition, in other words, the son of hell, will be revealed. The one whom God will destroy because of his utter wickedness. He will go into the temple, the rebuilt temple. There will be a rebuilt temple. They'll no doubt destroy the Mosque of Omar. You know, the Islamic mosque on that mountaintop. And the rabbis, wicked as they are, will build their own temple and start sacrificing animals again. In fact, they're already doing that. They're sacrificing sheep right now. And they're looking for the perfect cow, the heifer, without spot. They think they need sacrifices of animals to atone for sin. But Jesus already sacrificed himself for the sins of the whole world. It makes me sick that this Jimmy DeYoung would put out this video. Many Christians, a woman came up to me in Florida. I was at a prophecy conference years ago. She was wearing a Jewish Star of David around her neck. She said to me, isn't it thrilling that they're going to rebuild the temple? It's wonderful. She said, I sent money to a Jewish group to help them rebuild the temple. I said, do what? Do you not know, sister, that it's that place when it's rebuilt where the Antichrist will go in and declare that he's God and above all other gods, including Jesus? That's where Satan's Messiah counterfeit will go in. And you're helping him to build it? She said, well, I thought I was doing the right thing. She said, I'm part of Southwest Bible Church, and they recommend these things. I said, they do? And then I told her the real meaning of the Jewish Star of David. She was shocked. She said, I thought it was a sign of God. I said, have you never read the book of Acts where the first martyr of Christ, Stephen, preached to the Jews and so angered him because he accused the Jews when they left Egypt, rescued by God out of the clutches of Pharaoh. They went back whoring after the past gods of Egypt and Babylon, including the star god. Do you not know, I told her, that six-pointed star that you're wearing around your neck is a sign of the star god of ancient Babylon and Egypt? She said, I've never heard of such a thing. I thought it was a holy symbol. Friends, the pastors and evangelists and ministry leaders of America are Christian Zionists. They're going to have a lot to answer for on Judgment Day for misleading people into such hellacious things. Well, here's something pretty bad, too. The Scientific American is one of the top newspapers. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. Everybody knows about Scientific American. Well, a scientist whose editor, one of the editors for Scientific American, now says that climate catastrophe is ahead. They're always telling us that. Global warming. But there is only one thing to do now. Create a world government to solve this problem. We must have a world government. And we must scale back society. We cannot have nuclear plants. We cannot have clean coal. We cannot use oil. We must change everything. Effective world government will be needed to stave off climate catastrophe, says this editor in the Scientific American. Meanwhile, the BBC over in England has come out with a statement. They have found what warmed the earth initially. Of course, now mankind in our use of carbon emissions, is causing warming the earth. But you know what caused warming the earth initially? Dinosaurs letting out gas. Dinosaurs, the flatulence, to use a big word, of dinosaurs. Now, several years ago, environmentalists claimed that we must quit eating beef because cows that were, being raised so we could have beef, cattle emit gases, just like human beings do, flatulence. And that caused global warming. Did you know the cows around the earth cause global warming? So only if we do not have cows, it would be good to destroy all the cows, throw all the meat away, and become vegetarians, they said, to stop global warming. Wow. Now, the BBC Nature News has put out a bulletin saying that British scientists have calculated that methane produced from the flatulent, from the gases let out by dinosaurs, produced global warming eons ago. The first great global warming was caused by dinosaur gases. These people call themselves scientists. Folks, this is outrageous. They ought to be embarrassed to even leave their homes during the day. But to actually call yourself a scientist and say that dinosaur flatulence caused earth warming, that's too much. Now let's go on to the next group of scientists. They call themselves, get this, ethicists. They believe in ethics. And what are their ethics? Now think about this. Think of the name they've given themselves. Ethicist. A paper published in the Journal of Medical Ethics. Think of the name of that journal. The Journal of Medical Ethics now argues that abortion should be extended. It's not enough to kill babies in the womb. We must pass laws, say these medical doctors and scientists of the Journal of Medical Ethics. We must pass laws that make it allowable to kill perfectly healthy babies already born. So if you're a mother and you have born a baby, and the baby's in the pediatric ward of the hospital, or even 6 months old, and you decide, you know, it's too much trouble keeping up with this baby. I want to get on with my life. So you just take a sledgehammer and bang it in the head and kill it. That should be okay. That's ethical. It is ethical to kill newborn babies after they're born. Oh, my goodness. The Journal of Medical Ethics. Folks, that's George Orwellian language. Orwellian language. It's okay to murder little babies already born, perfectly healthy. These are the kind of eugenicist beliefs that this is what underpins the entire medical establishment. Would you trust these doctors if you were in the operating room getting a brain surgery? And maybe you're 50 years old or 40 years old. Think of what he's saying. He's an ethicist. And he's saying, you know, maybe I should just take my scalpel and rip this guy's brain and kill him. The world would be better off with one less person, wouldn't it? If they're willing to kill little babies already out of the womb and living and breathing and crying and existing and being a, should be a blessing to their parents. You think they'll hesitate to kill you if they can just get their hands on you and put you under anesthesia on the operating table? That makes me frightened of all doctors. We have psychopaths in the medical profession today. Just as we have psychopaths walking the halls of Congress that will pass such legislation as this. I think they're called Democrats and a few Republicans. Well, government is insane. They are a psychopath, and the government of the state of Michigan proves it. They're carrying out plans to destroy ranch livestock, that is, pigs. You see, they say that ranch animals must not be allowed to live if they're of a certain color. They put out something called the Invasive Species Order, ISO, Michigan's Department of Natural Resources. They say that family farms who are raising pigs could be punished by up to 4 years in prison if their pigs are the wrong color of hair. Now, folks, not too long ago, I live out in the country. I don't have any farm animals. They're all wild. And one night, I looked out my front door, and they were, I don't know, I couldn't see how many, but probably 7 or 8 little pigs. They were wild pigs. And they were tearing up my lawn looking for grub worms and such. Sort of upset me a little bit. I work hard to keep my lawn up, be a good neighbor. Here these rascals were out there tearing up my lawn, rooting it out. Wild pigs! Because I live near a lot of, you know, wild areas. But on the other hand, I sort of enjoyed it. And I had to go back to work the next day, and we had to fix up the lawn a little bit, put some new grass in and such. But I thought about it, and I said, you know, they were sort of cute. Oh, they were about small-sized pigs. Think about that. And, you know, one of them had black and white hair, and another one had sort of red and white hair, and just different color. Another one was sort of tan. And I jumped out of my house, and I did my hand slap them. Get out of here! you pigs. And boy, they ran like crazy. I got my shotgun and I was going to put some, you know, like BBs in there. I didn't want to kill the pigs. I didn't want to hurt them. I just wanted to sort of sting them on the back end a little bit and scare them off my property so they wouldn't tear up my yard. I don't mind wild pigs. Don't bother me. First time I'd ever seen them. I've been living at this place about 6 years now. But what if I was raising these 7 or 8 little pigs? And imagine the state government authorities coming up to you and say, now you're a small farmer and you got the wrong color pigs. You're going to have to kill them and don't raise them anymore. Or we put you in prison for 4 years for raising a pig of the wrong color. It's the wrong species. You know, that's crazy. That's insane to destroy pigs or any other livestock based on their hair color. Are these people out of their minds? Well, the answer is yes. They are absolutely nuts. Well, how long we got, Jerry, to go? About a minute and a half? Well, good. Okay. I want to make sure we cover a couple more things here. One is, I got a quote from a magazine the other day. I was reading an interview. It was a while back by the U.S. Navy Admiral in charge of all of our forces in the Middle East, Navy Admiral William Fallon. I really respected Fallon. By the way, he's the guy that would not go along with a war in Iran. And he told Cheney and Bush he would not support a war in Iran. He said, we're trying to keep the crazies in the box. Who's the crazies? George W. Bush, the president, the vice president. They're crazies and they want to go start a world war. And I don't go along with that. Well, they fired him. Started, you know, asking him to retire. But it was interesting. So many people are running around today saying Iran is a real enemy. And if we attack Iran, there could be a big World War III and all that other stuff. Iran has so many military weapons to fight us with. Oh, let me tell you something, friends. Admiral, I call him General because I'm an old Air Force boy. Admiral Fallon said something quite interesting to this interviewer. He was asked how much trouble would it be if we got into a war with Iran. And even though he opposes such a war, the good Navy Admiral said this. He says, get serious. These guys, meaning the Iran military, are ants. When the time comes, you crush them. Wow. They're like ants. When the time comes, you crush them. Well, that's the way it is, Vince. The fact is, well, that's what they are. They're like ants. But don't even ants who don't bother you deserve to live? I think the Iranians are more than ants, though. They're people. They're just like me. Their skin color may be different, but they're just like me. Their language may be dissimilar. They deserve to live. Men, women, children, mothers, fathers, old and young. And you know, I think it would be better to become friends of the Iranians rather than to attempt to crush them like ants. But he was stating a reality. We're building up Iran into being tall, Bunyan-esque giants. They are not. They don't have the weapons we have. They don't have any nuclear bombs. They're not warlike. They're not interested in fighting us. Why don't we just leave them alone? In fact, as Christians, how about becoming their friends? How about praying for them? Boy, wouldn't that change things? Instead of killing people in the Middle East, to pray with them, to pray for them, to pray to the true God whose name is Jesus Christ. This is Tex Mars. Been great being with you today, my many friends out there in Radio Land. My prayer is you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.